evening and welcome to another episode of Cheater and the Rude here on the Progressive Radio Network. I am Jeff Chrysler, or Chrysler, if I can enunciate, author of the book Get Rich Cheating, which you can find on the websites of the internet places, and there's blogs and stuff. My partner is Lee Papa, author of The Rude Pundit, and all the books and websites that that's associated with. You guys know how to use Google. Get Rich Cheating, Jeff Chrysler, Lee Papa. Enough of that. This show, this evening, is pre-recorded, so you can't call in and tell me anything, because I'm just going to have to imagine what it is that you're going to say. I'll interrupt you. You know what? I'll do it like I used to do when I was first starting stand-up. For a few years, I did a routine where the microphone was shared the stage with me. Because after all, the microphone was there, and the microphone would ask me questions like, "Hey, Jeff, but isn't George Bush really trying to do the best that he can?" And I'd say, "Microphone, no, he killed Queen Anne." I don't know. I did have some rant about Bush with, like, Columbia, confusing the Columbia shuttle disaster with Columbia drugs and Columbia, South Carolina, and somehow it ended up with me yelling about freedom and a queen. I don't know. I was doing a lot of work in Scotland at the time, so I felt in touch with sort of the history of the United Kingdom and the queens and kings, and isn't that really what we're missing out on as history? I mean, someone today, Lee Fang, tweeted, and I retweeted, because that's how hip and cool I am, RT. He said that Americans should have mandatory lessons in slavery and the impact on our country, like Germans do on the Holocaust. Good point. I think there's a lot of mandatory education we should have, like, about the Holocaust in this country, but, you know, that isn't how we always do it. We're a little more enthralled by our ability to retweet. You know, I'm going to be honest, I don't know enough about the education system and the Common Core and all these other things to really comment on it. So let me just say, in that regard, I love all the people. But I particularly love the people who literally hide behind the flag, even when they claim the flag doesn't exist. There's Clive and Bundy. I'm sure our listeners, yes, my friend, I'm sure our listeners are well aware of the Clive Bundy story, the Nevada rancher who flaunted the law, didn't pay his fair share. He was a taker. And then when the feds came, somehow he managed to rally all of his gun friends around him to defend his ranch and his right to be a welfare queen. And, you know, he did that pretty well. But then, of course, out comes an interview that it's not like he did this 20 years ago. He just had an interview where he just says some fairly racist things, like African Americans would be better in slavery than they are now. And that was a fun thing to see. And what I really enjoyed most was predicting with Lee, I was talking with him earlier, sort of what the different reactions would be and how people would spin this and whether people would automatically distance themselves from him, or if people were so convinced that they had to be right the first time, so intractable, so firm in their belief that their beliefs, once firmed, were uninfirmable, that they would find a way to spin this. And there were some senators that jumped away. And then there were some media personality who, somebody wrote, you know, I bet a lot of the people at the Alamo had some repugnant views too. Somebody else, I think it was Dana Loesch, wrote something like, "Shrill, shrill, wah, 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 look at me, I'm going to say something outrageous to get attention, and if only 2% of the population even understand, that's just okay with me, because look at me, look at me, look at me." And that was interesting. Another guy said that Bundy just needed media training. Yeah, because it's important not to change your ideas, but to hide them. Much like the Republican Party, if you remember back in the days of the convention leading up to the, or the days leading up to the convention in 2012, essentially saying, how can we change our message? Not change our meaning, but how can we message differently? There was a verb noun issue there about messaging versus message. And it seems that that is, you know, everybody has a problem. How do you convey your message? How do you talk? And that's why I'm available to help you write your book or write some jokes or communicate better with humor. So certainly check out Jeff Kreisler on the Twitter or the web, K-R-E-I-S-L-E-R, K-R-E-I-S-L-E-R, because I do that. I actually was doing that earlier today. That's why I can't do my show live at 8, because I have a client I have to help them with, and I do it for politicians and TV personalities and corporations and myself. Well, not always myself, as you probably guessed. This show is a free flow. This show is a free-flowing idea where information may spread and ideas may go to die, but nonetheless, you should be wary that any sentence that begins with a sentence in structure... See? I think the point... Well, I don't know what the point is, but a point was that everybody sort of needs to work on their messaging, but when the work on the messaging... is necessary because you have to hide your message. It's different than work on messaging so that you can better convey your message. The Democrats, the people on the left, have always been much worse at messaging, at framing the debate. For years, a great success of the right since the Powell memo before has been to frame things in terms where they essentially, they can't lose. Pro-life, they claim. Pro-life. How can you be automatically you're anti-life? They even just through their messaging system created myths about things that exist that don't actually exist. They created it as truth. The liberal media, activist judges, democratic leadership, all these things that don't exist, they would just repeat ad nauseum. And the Democrats have never... And the left has never been good at messaging, at marching in lockstep, talking points, at just, So the irony is, from this person's opinion, the side with the good message has always been unable to message it. And now it seems that the side with no message or mixed message that has always been able to talk their way out of it is saying we shouldn't talk anymore. So what's left on the right? You don't have substance, and you don't have flash, what's left? Inside that town. What's left on the right? See, there's some irony there, because left and right are both in that question, versus messaging. Message versus messaging. I'm right. See, this is how it all starts, everybody. Here on Cheater on the Road, you guys are witness to the seed planting of the genesis. It's like Star Trek meets a sex ed movie, meets some other thing. You get the idea. The beginning of ideas happen here. Now, if I could just get an administrative assistant that would collate all of my ideas, I've already lost about 60 hours of tape. In Hurricane Sandy, my crawl space got wiped out, and I had... I've done five cross-country drives and did a lot of talking to myself back then, and it was a fascinating learning experience, I think, for the universe, because at the time I didn't know anything, and I'm convinced if I listened to all 60 hours of that before it had gotten washed away, I would have found maybe 3 minutes of worthy material. Although I did a lot of songs, so there probably were some good songs in there. But my point is, if you're out there and you want to hire me to help you with your messaging, you can pay me back by being my administrative assistant and just getting all my crap together, because I got a lot going on. I think as everybody in modern life does. You can probably hear in the background, I got kids screaming. I got babies making babies. I don't even know what that means, but it sounds like a Russian babushka doll, I guess it reminded you all about the Soviet Union. I don't know if my listeners, I can't remember who I've talked to lately, because it is such an active time. The rate of change and progress in this world right now is fascinating, as I'm sure you all know. But the Soviet Union, we need to remember, because there's a sense that Vlad is trying to bring it back. The Soviet Union was, of course, that other superpower, right? That was a loose group of nominally independent states governed centrally by a ruling elite that controlled the government, economy, and media. And their whole system collapsed because it was based upon a false economic myth, a failed invasion of Afghanistan, and the fact that their leaders were chosen according to party and popularity by their brothers, a rigged election, and a secret council of elders. Yep, I am so glad we are not like that. Tonight we're gonna discover What happened when I make up a song as a segue while I think of something else to say? So, as you may have noticed, heard, discovered, read, witnessed, David Letterman is leaving his show to take over by Stephen Colbert. Rush Limbaugh has attacked Stephen Colbert. There's been attacks on comedy left and right. They're coming for the comedians, and I said nothing. Wait, how's it go? First, they came for the comedians, and I said nothing because it opened up more performance opportunity for me. But then, I find it just interesting that the party of controlling the message is now coming after comedians, other sources of the message. They want to control the internet. You know, do you think that net neutrality is just strictly commercial? It may be, but are commercial interests political interests? Isn't the restriction of the free flow of ideas essential to the control of the impact of ideas? I mean, I you know, is truth and justice enough to save the American way? I mean, there was a superhero once who said something like that, and I don't think he ever thought of the forces of evil being so pervasive. I mean, when a regular hardworking middle class or lower middle class people aren't guaranteed of a secure future. Look, I made decisions to take a risk, to try things differently. But I could have made a choice just to work hard and get a job and provide. And the idea that if you play by the rules and you work hard and you get a job, you still may not be able to provide. I think that that is an outrageous thing. And it's not resolvable strictly by pulling a lever in a ballot box, but there are definitely sides that have interests more aligned to the economic powers that have created this situation and benefit from its continued existence. I mean, yes, you can make an argument to the bottom line of the people that care about their bottom line, about the health and well-being and education and functionality of their workforce, of their customer base. You know, who's going to buy a $500 iPad if they can't afford batteries for it? But that type of argument doesn't seem to work. Look, you would think the Koch brothers, having made a ton of money, would look at the best way to make money is to be investing in our future, not just sucking up as much money as they can. Now, maybe they know that there's an asteroid coming. There's a new report saying their asteroids are more likely to hit Earth or not. Maybe the really rich jerks out there know about the impending end of the world. They're either denying climate and they know it's happening sooner than we thought, or they see an asteroid coming and they're like, screw it, I'm getting as much money as I can. Maybe they think they can build themselves some sort of bunker to protect themselves. Maybe they're like inflating part of the land they live under, like a one of those things you often see at a lake Havasu for something that jumps in the head, or like a big floaty dock where it acts like someone jumps on one end and the person on the other end bounces up. It's God, those things have got to have names. Someone get online, Google search for bouncy water catapult thing, and tell me what it's called. In fact, right now, I'm going to do that. This is how amazing technology is, how the rate of change, again, is something that I think that we really don't appreciate. A bouncy water catapult. The water blob inflatable water toy. Woman jumping onto raft. Girl goes flying into air. Those are always good ways to sell them. Yeah, it's a water blob. You jump on it and should get one of those. Get one of those for the next hurricane hits around here. Just psh, then you do it into the shallow end, and it's always sort of a problem. But you boing. See, look at this right now. I know you guys can't see through the. Someday we'll be able to. In fact, that's actually probably what most people do. But frankly, let's be real. Like, you don't want to sit around and watch me. Like, what I'm saying could be enough. I was earlier reading some stories about Mickey Mouse, Glam House. But I can't do it too loud. If I do the Mickey Mouse voice, my kid's going to come running here. He is way too adorable for you people. Let me tell you something. My kid is why I worry about these people. I'm not a racist, but you know, I've pretty much found as a comedian when you're on the road that the only people who come with jokes suggestions for you after a show are either racist or sexist. Yeah, those are the people who talk to you, or the heckler who you shut down, but who will come up and say, "Man, we did a great job. I made it so much easier for you. Wasn't that fun? You got laughs off me." Yeah, because this is what I do, bro. This is what I do. I guess my point is, I don't know what my point is. I don't like people. Is that a point? I guess that's part of a point. I think, again, we need people that think things through just a little bit before they leap into action. Like, you know what? Cliven Bundy, he's clearly thought, he's been 20 years, he's been grazed on this land. He's thought through his position. He has chosen a-hole, but he has stuck to his guns. All these other people just leapt to defend him immediately, just decided for whatever reason, whether it because he wore a cowboy hat or it sounded like something rancher or because the feds were involved on the other side, they just leapt to assume what it was before finding out what was happening and thinking things through. You know, they were willing to go have their women shot. You may have seen this, the Cliven Bundy defenders, which, by the way, was a terrible team in the XFL league. They were going to put their women folk up front. They literally said on camera something like, so that the shooting of the women would be seen by everyone. Yeah, that doesn't really motivate people to action. Otherwise, we'd have gun control, in case you didn't notice about. Anyway, they don't think things through. And they leap. And maybe, you know, you don't want to, like, hem and haw. You don't want to, like, consider all things. There are times for action. I don't know. I find it challenging. The party that always talks about principles, needing to have people with conservative principles and principles, have remarkably little principles. I mean, there's so much hypocrisy. For instance, about the fact that this guy was grazing on federal land, was basically, you know, getting a federal subsidy for his product, was based on welfare, and then fighting for it, using guns to fight for it. And they've supported it, whereas they don't support actual structured, systematic welfare. I mean, it's not just about it, but the hypocrisy shows a genuine lack of principles. It's principles that can follow and be twisted to meet the ends that you want. Look, I went to law school. I'm technically a lawyer, and I can tell you, lawyers can make anything be anything. Can give me a blue potato chip, and I'll convince you that it's a glass of water. That's the job of a good wordsmith, of a person who can rationalize things for their clients. And when your client is yourself, sometimes you lose track of whether or not you're rationalizing or just finding truth. And the party that hates trial lawyers is essentially trial lawyers. You know, they will spin any, like, you can take any position and just be clever enough to make you mean anything else. And yes, both sides do it. But it definitely shows a lack of principle. And when you're hired as a lawyer, you have legal guidelines, and you're given sort of a position. This is a position I want you to defend. But if you're just a person, and that's how you operate your life, is case by case, what end do I want as opposed to what do I believe in? Well, I don't know. It doesn't strike me as a healthy way to live and progress as a society. Certainly doesn't seem like a way to be a leader, because the lessons you're teaching, there is no lesson. The lesson is every situation, decide what's best for you. And that doesn't seem like a healthy thing for a society to do. So, I don't know. That's what I've found most interesting about seeing the Cliven Bundy racism story, is knowing there would be people that would jump away, and because they leapt in too early, they had to jump away. There'd be people that wouldn't be affected. There'd be people that jumped in early that had to leave. There'd be people that would spin what he said, and then people spin who he is to fit their quick jumping decision. Because, you know, you can't be proven wrong. I mean, it's part of the issue is you can never be wrong. You can never admit to being wrong. which is, in my book, a sign of weakness. Admitting mistakes, can sometimes be a great strength. It shows that you don't believe that you know everything and acknowledges your humanity. But look, that's why I'm doing a radio show on PRN while my kid plays in the other room. And I look at the decapitated head of the Human Torch. A little decapitated. Decapitated head I've had for, how old am I now? 21? Yeah, that were 20 years. I'm not 21, everybody. Listen, you can relax. You can trust me. Send your money to my PayPal account. It's a confusion laughter piece at yahoo.com. Just send over my confusion laughter piece at Yahoo. Send me all your money. No, don't send me all your money. Send me a bunch of money. And we'll see what happens. It's going to be a little test. We get enough money, we're going to take this radio show to the next level. And when we're at the next level, you guys are going to be amazed at what type of leveling is going to happen. You know, speaking of radio shows, do you know the final edition of Radio Hour is coming on after this? And here on PRN Live at 8:30, it just plays for half an hour. But we've got a whole hour-long show in the archives for you to check out at PRN.fm, at iTunes, at Podbean, finaledition.com. There's some good stuff out there. And, you know, we're hoping that you guys can become our loyal fans and help spread the word. We're going to be coming up soon with an interview here on Cheater on the Road. This week's Final Edition has a good interview with Sir Ian Faith, the band manager from Spinal Tap. And I don't mean Tony Hendra, the actor who played him in the movie, but the actual manager of the band Spinal Tap will be on the second half of the archive show of the Final Edition Radio Hour. Before I think about wrapping it up, I want you guys to hit me on the Twitter, on the Facebook, on the email, on the Google, on the whatever is out there these days. Tell me what you think we should do. What do you think I should do? It's always easier to give advice for other people. What do you think a guy like me should do to help save the world? You know, there are options. There are possibilities. But there are no simple solutions. So, all right, sorry, momentary interruption. That is how life works. Listen, you know what? I think we're going to wrap this up. This has been another ramble episode of Cheater and the Root. I am Jeff Kreisler. You can tweet me, Jeff Kreisler, JeffKreisler. You can go to Get Rich Cheating. Check out the book. You don't have to buy it. Check out the video. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to buy nothing. Just go there. Shoot me an email, get on a mailing list, get an email from me once every 6 weeks that says funny stuff or interesting stuff. Help me transition through life, and I will help you enjoy the journey as well. I don't know how yet. I don't think any of us do. But as long as we're walking towards joy and trying to bring as many people as we can with us, I think that's a good thing to be doing. So until then, I leave you with the words of the Mahi Rishi. Unga dabunga dibbidi dawa said a wunga a dunga a diggity dawa said a bunga a dunga a biggity bawa gonna walk out with the pow. Hey, if you're listening to Cheater and the Rude on the radio, let me ask you a question. What frequency, yo? Are we just online? Are we wasting time? Are we having margaritas with expensive lime? Because the prices are skyrocketing of basic goods soon. We'll find our produce is all sort of kind of screwed. We're gonna not have beef, that's good. Not have water, that's bad. Everything will happen for a reason, that's sad. So just... Kaboom. Cheater and the Rude on Progressive Radio Network. Well, moving forward, I will choose.